big hello and a warm welcome to everyone. My name is Simon Pittman, and I will be your host for this podcast panel discussion brought to you by InCosmetics Connect on trends and opportunities during the COVID-19 pandemic. This is part of a series of podcasts that will look at the most pressing issues facing the beauty and personal care industry during what has proved to be an unprecedented situation for business worldwide. Today, we have assembled some of the leading industry experts to share their views on the impact the pandemic is having on the market, how that is influencing consumer habits, and the different types of opportunities that are arising as a result. So next, I'd like to introduce you to our panel, who represent very different areas of the industry. First of all, we have Euromonitor International Senior Research Analyst, Gabriella Beckwith, who will be running us through the changes that this leading market intelligence company has noticed during the pandemic. Gabriella, if you could just say hi to our listeners.
Hi, everyone.
Great. Good to have you here. And we also have Christian Simigliani, who is the Market Development Personal Care Europe at BASF. He will be revealing how this leading fine chemicals and ingredients giant is meeting the needs of cosmetic and personal care manufacturers in the current market. A big hello to you, Christian. How are you?
All fine, thank you. And hi to everyone, also from my side.
Thank you. I'm also honored to have Ashley Prangi, who is the founder of Au Naturel Cosmetics. Ashley will be sharing some of the insights the company has noted in recent months. A warm welcome to you, Ashley.
Thank you. Wonderful to be here.
Pleasure. So we will proceed by asking a set of questions that targets each of our speakers' expertise. But I might add that any of you are welcome to chip in with your thoughts in response to any of the panelists' questions and responses. So here goes for the first round of questions, which I will give to our market research analyst Gabriella. Gabriella, the first question for you. What are the primary changes in consumer patterns that Euromonitor has observed since the pandemic started to impact daily lives worldwide?
Thanks, Simon. So to answer the first question, consumption patterns and beauty routines are seeing inevitable shifts as a result of lockdown measures, selective retail and salon closures, and of course, travel restrictions. And so what we've seen is that the pandemic has resulted in consumers adopting higher hygiene standards, leading to a surge in demand and the stockpiling of products such as soap and hand sanitizers. And we expect that the uptake of such products is likely to persist beyond 2020 as health concerns remain key among consumers. At the same time, salon closures are increasing sales of at-home hair colorants and depilatories during lockdown, as consumers look for alternative ways to keep up with grooming habits and appearances. Consumers are also turning to feel-good and pampering products like face masks as well. Now, while staple toiletries are generally less impacted by the crisis, lower economic activity and high unemployment rates are weakening consumer spending power. And so this, coupled with retail store closures and social distancing measures, is causing consumers to downgrade from premium to lower price point items, and is also heavily dampening consumer demand for discretionary categories, such as fragrances and colour cosmetics. However, as purchases for these bigger ticket and luxury items like fragrances are being reduced, what we've seen is that in response, some consumers are actually upgrading on staple items, so things like premium soap, shower gel, and also nail polish as a way of indulgence.
Okay, that's great. So we've talked through some of the areas of the industry that have been impacted. Let's focus a bit more on the opportunities. What sort of other opportunities have you uncovered during the pandemic? Perhaps some unusual areas where you've seen spikes in consumer purchases.
And during the pandemic, the main areas of opportunity has been within around brand positioning, product formats, And also, of course, engagement through digital and virtual experiences as consumers shop online more. So just to touch on a couple of those points, brand positioning, for example. So for many years, the biggest story in beauty has been, you know, the growth of the premium segment, which has generated gains at the expense of the mass segment. But now with premium and prestige beauty expected to take the biggest hit, companies and brands that actually have a mix of price points or that have mass-orientated brands have a chance to gain share. We've also seen that opportunity is rife for brands or products with a strong alignment to health, therapeutics, and an association with overall wellness. We're seeing opportunity in products that are perceived as clean and safe as the shift towards preventative health, preventative skin health intensifies. And lastly, with more ingrained at-home habits, DIY beauty is also somewhat seeing a resurgence. In the context of areas like skincare treatments and devices, clinical strength oral care, and salon-like hair care and nail care alternatives.
Interesting. Awesome. So obviously we can't stay shut down forever. Mm-hmm. So once things open up again, how do you see the market evolving? And will there be any other opportunities for cosmetics and personal care players?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's likely that we'll see some longer term shifts in consumer behavior that are observed, particularly as working from home and increase in online shopping and buying more health and wellness related products are set to become more permanent fixtures in life. Mm. So one area that that may evolve is masstige, which was already an area that was gaining ground before the pandemic. Mm-hmm. And this is because premium associations are aligning with new attributes beyond higher price tags. So attributes like efficacy, eco-credentials, and personal suitability. And these are going to be the features that will need further attention and development post-crisis. Premium brands will be expected to show greater flexibility in terms of their channel mix, as well as endorse the concept of affordable luxury more strongly. Mass brands, on the other hand, will see an opportunity to upgrade their offerings. We can also expect the clean to conscious movement in beauty to be reinforced. As I mentioned before, things like safety, provenance, sustainability, and transparency of ingredients are being sought after and will continue to be more sought after. Consumers may also look for simplicity and minimalism too, with signature ingredients associated with immunity, protection and natural healing coming to the fore. And with the self-care mindset, I guess, setting in deeper, a large number of opportunities stemming from, you know, this whole wellness movement can be explored further. So areas like gut skin health correlations, food ingredient inspiration, mental well-being, so areas like stress, sleep, anxiety, and also cannabis, and, you know, just in general, any attributes that evoke a sense of indulgence and ultimately happiness that many consumers will be seeking in their daily life. So broadly speaking, as necessity takes priority over luxury, brand differentiation and loyalty will resurface as a challenge. So stories of purpose, emotional engagement, and new relevance will be a key rescue line for brands.
Great. Gabrielle, do you kind of see this as being a huge or even monumental shift in consumer patterns in general and specifically for beauty and personal care consumers?
Yes, definitely. I think, you know, as I mentioned before, there's been a huge shift towards a focus on health and hygiene, and that's not going to go away anytime soon, and the impact that COVID is having. Also, in terms of, you know, channel mix, that's going to be impacted for a long time. Particularly as consumers, you know, maybe even as things get back to normal, people may still want to shop online more just out of, you know, feeling more comfortable. So this, you know, inevitable shift to sort of the digital and online world would also be seen, you know, as a longer term trend.
That's very interesting. Thanks very much for that insight, Gabriella. We'll move on further down the supply chain now. By asking some questions of Christian, our expert from BASF. So, Christian, what have been some of the primary changes that BASF has seen with respect to what your customers in the beauty and personal care space want since the pandemic's outbreak?
Well, let me say first that the priority of BSF was always to protect people inside the organization and outside the organization. That's why BSF has started using its assets to produce hand sanitizers. To produce hand sanitizers to help the full supply chain, because it was quite bottlenecked at the time of the peak of the coronavirus. And so we decided to do this to help hospitals, care facilities, and other institutions in the regions. So we do it. We did it worldwide.
Wow. So you became a finished product.
BSF is producing. Yeah, somehow. So BSF produces some of the ingredients, and some to produce hand sanitizers had to be purchased, of course, but we redirected our production capabilities into this because it was quite important at the time. What did we see as change in our customers' behavior? Clearly, everyone was looking to produce hand sanitizers, gels, or washing ingredients. And this was a shift from the more prestige and premium products. So all what was related to the high sophisticated cosmetic was moved to the more basic ones. And so all the ingredients that went for beauty saloons, hairdressers, or spa have seen a strong reduction in demand from the market, as well as for the UV filters, that in that moment is still not the key priority to go out and protect yourself from UV rays.
Right. That's very interesting. So you're very much backing up what Gabriella said about a shift away from the premium products. Thanks for that comment. So has there been a run on any specific types of ingredients or raw materials in the past couple of months? And if so, have you any explanation for that?
Well, clearly we have seen a strong demand on surfactants and all the ingredients that are related to hand sanitizers. Hand wash, but also hand creams. So people have understood quite clearly, and it was repeated by the media many, many times, that one of the way of avoiding the spread out of the virus was really to wash our hands. And and this behavior became a sort of attitude of the people. So we have seen really a strong increase of the demand of surfactants.
Okay, that's great. Very interesting. So how does BASF envisage the ingredients and fine chemicals market evolving once the restrictions related to the pandemic are eased?
Mm-hmm. Well, clearly we expect that the market will come back to normality, whatever normality means. But at least we will see that people will start taking care of themselves again. So from beauty products to sun products, because sooner or later we'll be allowed to go under the sun and we need to protect ourselves. So for sure, these sooner or later will come back to sort of a normality. What will remain after the pandemic is clearly this kind of behavior of washing ourselves more and better. So we have understood that we need to do it, and we do see this as a trend that will continue.
So a lot of the lockdowns are starting to be eased now in across the world, in Europe and the Americas. Are you actually seeing that run on the race to source ingredients? Are you actually seeing that happening already?
very slowly, very slowly. Right, interesting.
Okay, well, thanks for that, Christian. And now let's find out what's happening with brands by asking Ashley of Au Naturel about some of the evolving trends that she's noted.
Mm-hmm.
Hi, Ashley. So,
hello.
The first question I have for you, what are the primary changes in consumer patterns that you have observed at Au Naturel since the pandemic started to impact?
Great question. So, when we started lockdown, obviously our wholesale for brick and mortar, decreased, and we had an uptick in digital, and also, very intentional questions from our consumers on preservation of our product. We do organic, clean colors. So using, natural and organic raw ingredients paired with color, a lot of which actually comes from BASF. And we, our finished product is considered clean. So we're in a trend forward category. But the questions on our products, do they work and are they preserved well enough where they can look to us as a clean beauty benchmark for the health of their skin. So, right. So the consumer has asked interesting questions since the lockdown, and we've noticed that we've had to really dig deep into our supply chain get them the answers that they're seeking.
Okay. That's very interesting. Do you think consumers are spending more time to look to research products? Is this giving them more time at home to sort of like check out what they want? And maybe asking questions about ingredients and the sourcing of the products?
Yes, ingredients, the sourcing, the ethics of our the sourcing. I mean, we are a vertically integrated company, so they're asking very pointed questions on our manufacturing practices and where we're grabbing items. Like, we use organic, sustainable source of palm oil. And they have a lot of ethical questions around that. And also, even our color, is it being sourced from India or is it domestic? So it's been wonderful because we've spent so many years making sure that our practices, our operations are in step with our mission. And our mission is shining in this moment when people have time to actually reflect on what companies they want to support in this time. Is it good for them? Is it good for the planet? And are they aligned with our values? And because of this, and because of this sharp digit to digital, the pivot to digital, we've seen an uptick in our online sales by quite a bit, actually, and more time and more attention dedicated to the storytelling aspect of our brand.
Right. Very interesting. Okay, so which products have fared well during the crisis and which have maybe suffered more?
That's a great question. We've seen an uptick in complexion products. That was interesting for me. Also, mascara. We always sell a lot of mascara, but that's been through the roof. I assume because people still need that for their Zoom meetings that they're having. Not as much of the vibrancy that we usually see moving into summer. Not a lot of the bright pink lipsticks, a lot of neutrals, but more of the products that one would expect to have just to like keep their lips hydrated, to have just a splash of color, kind of the essentials like lip glosses, the complexion products, which are also hydrating for your skin from our line. And mascara. So it's been a shift in the assortment that they're choosing. And I imagine that will continue to evolve, but we are diving deep into the data every day. We've only had a couple months of trying to understand what the consumer wants, but are able to respond to it and happy for the questions. And also to this shift in what consumers want is really playing into how we are going live with retailers like Ulta and Whole Foods again, because they understand that post-pandemic, we're looking at a different sort of buying experience.
Right. And you did mention mascara.
Have you
seen anything about the trend for face mask makeup? I mean, it started in Asia, but with the evolution of people wearing face masks in Europe and the US, do you think that's had an impact on perhaps eye makeup?
That's interesting. So for the eye makeup, the questions and the reason why I think we're seeing an uptick in our sales is they have very pointed questions on ingredients. And with a physicist in LA, we supported the development of the first USA DA organic preservative called xylitol cocoate. And I think that in an effort to support clean and eco, and then also for their overall health, we're the only mascara on the market that can speak to that clean mission so purely. Now, as far as the complexion products, the rise of that, now we don't have a face mask makeup per se, but our complexion products are saturated in organic ingredients that do promote skin health and also do have this xylitol cocoate ingredient I just spoke of for preservation. And I think that that's even more meaningful to the consumer in this moment where they're looking for skin health and they're looking for protection. And they want to know that there's a method of preservation that's superior to maybe other brands. But we are following trends closely, and because we are vertically integrated and we have our own lab trying to respond to these trends quickly. So stay tuned. I think we could have this same conversation in 3 months from now and have more R&D to unpack based on that.
Brilliant. Okay, so for the final question I wanted to ask you, it ties in with what I was asking Gabriella, but it'd be interesting to see it from a brand perspective. And do you believe that consumer patterns will see any longer lasting changes once the crisis is over? And if so, what in particular?
Yeah, that's a great question. So I agree with Gabriella that hygiene is paramount, that we will need to shift our messaging to speak to this. We have always, I mean, it's why we support xylitol cocoate and this organic preservation method. But I think you'll see that playing out even in how testers are and sampling programs are distributed in brick and mortar stores. And so this is something we're really focused on, and how that plays out, not just with our products, but also how we display our color moving forward.
Okay, brilliant. Well, thank you very much for those insights, Ashley. And indeed, that brings our podcast recording to an end. I'd like to thank all of our panelists, Gabriella, Christiane, Ashley, for their incredible insights, and to you, our listeners, for tuning into this podcast hosted by myself, Simon Pittman, and brought to you by InCosmetics Connect. Thank you.
Thank you, Simon.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thanks, Simon.